You are now listening to Discover Your Potential with renowned radio talk show host and certified holistic practitioner, Cindy Gilman. So listen, participate, be inspired. Know that you can discover your potential. Here she is, Cindy Gilman.
Well, thank you very much. And thank all of you for spending a part of your Sunday with us. We are streaming live worldwide, and I want to thank Doug with BBS Radio. I know sometimes he's a little shy. You want to say hi, Doug?
Hi, yes, everyone.
Hi. Now, I have heard that over the last 2 weeks, we've had almost 30,000 listeners. So I want to thank all of you for listening to the program, for this program is for you. I know there are many programs that I have done in the past that are up for you to listen to, but today we are streaming live thanks to Doug and his technological input, which I am not very good with. I'd like to start out by reading something, and then I will tell you about what I think is going to be an absolutely wonderful hour. This is called The Eagle's Prayer, and it's written by a member of the Blackfoot tribe. To those who have spirit eyes, I bring vision. To those who have spirit ears, hear my wings bringing to you gifts. Not all are granted to possess. I am wind warrior. I am eagle, guardian of vision, past and present. For those without vision of past earth people's gifts, gifts are without spirit, and without vision of future, earth people will be forgotten. To you, I bring spirit of earth, people encased and vibrant, but free-flowing and serene on the elements of earth, ground, which is clay, father tree, which is wood, and brother plant, formed in canvas. Their spirits are entrusted with our past impressed on them, given to those with eyes to carry on our spirits, our souls, our memories for you. So that'll give you a little bit of an appetizer as to what today's program is about. If you'd like to call in, and you can, be polite, the number is 888-627-6008. Please give your real first name, or you may not get a real answer, and where you are calling from. Now, this is a very interesting month. This is National Native American Heritage Month, also known as American Indian Heritage Month, a time to celebrate the rich and diverse cultural traditions and history, an achievement and important contribution the Indians make for our nation. It is also National Veterans Month, and many veterans celebrations have been going on from Veterans Day on. In fact, there's a new duplicate of the Vietnam Wall that's just been put up in Massachusetts, and I hope some of you who are local will be able to get to it and see it. I saw it after it was first created in Washington, D.C., and although I saw names of people that I went to college with, it was most impressive. For those of you who are listening, I hope you will gain some insight, some knowledge, some interest, And for those of you who would like to sponsor our program, you can go to my website, CindyGilman.com, and someone will tell you how you can be a sponsor. Now, what better way to do this program today? I invited my dear friend and adopted spiritual brother, Gordon, to spend this hour with me. For Gordon, also known as Gordon Two Bears, represents both of these categories, the Native American heritage and culture, and also the Veterans Month. Gordon was a veteran armed forces, actually a lifetime member of the armed forces and a veteran. So, Gordon, thank you for spending this hour with me.
You're very welcome, Cindy. Hello, everyone.
It's good to have you here.
I'm honored that you asked me to come on your show, Cindy.
Pardon?
I said I'm honored that you asked me to come on your show.
Well, I'm honored that you said yes, and I know you bring to this program a wealth of information on both the Native American heritage, often called the Indian heritage, and your involvement with the armed forces and as a veteran. And I salute you, and I thank you for your service.
Well, thank you. You're welcome.
You know, over the last several decades, people have become more and more interest in the indigenous people or Native Americans. I know many Native Americans don't like to be called Native American because before the Europeans came here, they were various groups of tribes of people with different names. So perhaps you can tell us a little bit about that history.
Well, you're absolutely correct. You know, before the name as we currently know the land that we live in, the people knew themselves by a lot of different names. For example, here in the East Coast, where you and I are, it was very common for the people to call themselves either the real people or people of the first light, because they were the ones that saw the first dawning of the light, you know, or they would call themselves by some other name, you know. So as far as they were concerned, that was the name. And the place that they lived, you know, they also called it many different names, depending upon, you know, what their cultural beliefs were and what their upbringings were. And that varied, you know, no matter where you went in what is now the United States, everyone had their own creation stories on where they came from. And, you know, so it was quite diverse, you know, so it's quite amazing. But they all realized that even though they would call themselves a people of a certain place, that they stood upon the same ground as a people in another place. The ground was connected. They understood that.
Well, did they go by tribal names?
Yeah, pretty much, yes. They were quite segregated, if you will, in their own nations. You know, and they had contact, of course, and traded and, you know, had interactions with other tribal people. And it loosely affiliated itself along the language that the people spoke, because there was many, many diverse languages across, you know, the country, and there still are in the natives. You know, you had Algonquin and you had Siouan language, and then you had the languages of the Southwest people, and then the Northwest people, and the Southeast people. They all had their own languages.
And before it was even called America, this country was called Turtle Island.
Well, that was a common one of the nation's creation stories was that the Earth itself was a turtle that was in the seas, mm-hmm. and that they lived on the back of the turtle. That's why they called it Turtle Island.
Ah, and that's something I just learned.
And what it's interesting. There's a lot of different pathways out there.
And speaking of pathways, I know you've done a lot of writing, and I hope one day you'll write a book. You have something written about pathway.
Well, yeah, over the years, and I'm getting up there in years now myself, but over the I've actually traveled a lot of those pathways. And one of the things that I've done in one of the many hats that I wear, you know, as a energy as an energy healer and as a counselor and as a non-denominational ordained minister, thing you talk with people and mm-hmm. people, you know, they have questions, and lots of times the questions are around their own individual path, and so I kind of put together a teaching from understandings that I had, and it was in the format of a story, and I call it the same different pathway.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, this was written, let's see, I'm looking at the date of this. This was written at least, 10 years ago, on the 1st of November, 2009.
When we were both 21
years
old.
Teaching. Okay. In the time of the beginning, the Creator with all names made a beautiful lake filled with the purest of spiritual water to serve the needs of all that had been created upon the face of the earth. This water of life serves the spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical needs of all who come to drink of its goodness. All around this lake were created pathways in great numbers that led out into the world of the created, so that all living things could have a way to travel to this lake of goodness on a pathway of their own choosing. It was in this manner that the created things could use the pathway best suited for their needs. For a long, long, long time, the created things walked upon their chosen pathway and received that which the Creator with all names gifted them, and were happy and in harmony with all things. Then one day, one of the created people exclaimed that his pathway was the best way to go to the Lake of Goodness, and that others should consider abandoning their own and using his pathway. Well, this led to discussions about the different pathways and the differences between those who used them. As this became more prevalent, they became more defensive about their own pathway, and disagreements and confusion arose within the people, and there were arguments and disharmony in that which had been created. As each group of people decided which pathway was the only true pathway, they divided themselves into groups and divided from each other. It was in this way that they lost their understanding of how all pathways led from the Lake of Goodness. They had let the pathway they walked become the center of their reason and took their eyes off the place all the pathways started. They had allowed themselves to become separated in perception only. For in thinking that the pathway started from where they stood, they forgot that the Creator, with all names, had started all pathways from the lake of the water of life, so that creation could be connected to the one source at all times. The people had forgotten that they did not create the pathway, but only walked upon a pathway that had been gifted to them. Had they not forgotten this, they could have remembered they were part of everything created, because they were drinking from the one source and be able to see the connection that is always there. Therefore, do not judge the path another takes to drink from the water of life that you also drink. Instead, walk your own path with your heart on the destination and the beginning. Then when you bend to drink of the water of life and you fill your cup with a connection to all things and see the you can see the reflection of the faces of all your relatives in the Lake of Harmony.
I love that.
And that was very much the belief of the Native Americans across the country. They understood that everybody had their own ways, you know, so they didn't stand in judgment of somebody else's ways. You know, if Creator has made them to do things that way, that's the way they did things, and they respected that. They didn't try to change it. They didn't try to, you know, to subject them to, you know, following another's ways. In other words, they honored them for what they were, you know.
It's too bad people don't live that way today.
These are really tough and trying times that we're in, you know. Yes. It's just, and I feel sorry for the people that are, you know, the nations now, the Native American nations now are under such tremendous stress, you know, with all of the new technologies and everything else, you know, for the young people to hold on to their cultural heritage,
right.
You know, and that's the groundedness, the rootedness, you know, the keeping your eye on the one source. Creator knows every name that a person uses to call on them from their heart. It doesn't make any difference what language it's in. It doesn't make any difference
right.
what name it is.
And it all goes to one source.
Well, you know, there was somebody that you and I both knew that had a wonderful, wonderful saying one time that I've taken as a teaching. Do you remember someone by the name of John Running Deer?
Absolutely. And I had the wonderful pleasure, thanks to you, of meeting Chief Running Deer. And he actually, when you invited me to the very small private powwow, I sat with him, and when he went up to say the prayer, he asked me to hold his staff, and the energy from that staff was so strong, I almost fell over, and I'm used to feeling energy. What was his saying?
What was what?
You said there was a saying that he had.
Well, he had a number of sayings. My most favorite one, and I'm going to put this out there just because this is the way that John would probably like to be remembered. John has crossed over a number of years ago now.
Right.
But you remember John's wife. And
yeah,
he was talking one time about the same thing that I just mentioned.
Promiscuous.
Same different pathways.
Right.
He said he would come home, and one day, he said there on the altar there would be a Buddha. The next time he
right.
would come, he'd go in there, and there would be a star of David, there would be a crucifix.
The Blessed Mother.
Huh?
Or,
yep.
or Native. He said she called her
He says, my wife is spiritually promiscuous.
I know,
and
that was so funny.
And what he was getting at is that she was being true to the spirit and honoring
mm-hmm.
all pathways. That's what he meant. But one of the greatest sayings, I was standing with him one time at a powwow,
mm-hmm.
and he was speaking to you know, quite a large number of people there. As was common, they would have the any medicine person that was at a powwow do the opening and the blessings and things of this nature.
Right.
Well, John was talking to the people one day, so I put together this little thing afterwards because it struck me as so poignant and so true, you know, that, and he put it in such a way, because John was such a down-to-earth person, he put it in such a way
right.
that everybody understood what he was talking about. You know, modern contemporary life has become so complex and diversified. You know, we can sometimes become utterly befuddled when it comes time to make a choice
mm-hmm.
on the best approach to doing something or accomplishing something in our lives. There are a multitude of different types, models, and functions of everything, from ideas, beliefs, preferences, and religions. You find yourself swayed one way or another in trying to discover your own path. Confusing, huh? Pretty frustrating, too. All different pathways are there inviting you to travel, but everybody has the same question, which one do I use?
Right.
Well, John was talking to them, and I suggest you consider a teaching that I found that led to a profound truth for me. And John was talking to a gathering of multicultural people, and he stated, and I'm going to paraphrase this because I can't remember it from word to word because I giggled and laughed when he said it. He says, all you people standing here in a circle, you have different phones with you, don't you? He says, some of you have AT&T. He says, some have Verizon. Some have Sprint. Some have those other minute phones, he says. He says, most of those phones are made by different makers, too. And you have different models, I'll bet. The one thing they have in common is they all work when you use them properly.
Nah.
What John was saying is that the Creator Spirit is right. The destination of your call. It goes through no matter what brand or model of phone you're using. The important thing is whether you're dialing the number and you hit send. It's right. Not important what make it is, what model it is, or how many other functions that phone has. You use the phone to make the call, and then you hit send.
Right.
And then he said, is it ringing? Those were some profound teachings that he said. And what
he was a one
what basically
kind
was,
person.
It was a thing of mutual respect for each other.
Right.
To not get tied up in the little things, the little differences, and look for the one big thing that's the same. You know, so I'll always remember that man.
Always. It was such a delight to meet him. It really was. A lot
of
people.
You know how well he got along with you. You know that little Jewish lady that I call my little Jewish spark plug because you have so much energy.
I don't know about you. I feel like there are people. My hands are red right now. I don't know if yours are. There must be a lot of people out there that are in need of healing. So,
well,
your
there's
Reiki
always
must
lots
be...
of people that are in need of all kinds of things.
Right.
And there's lots of people that are willing to be the conduit for those things to go through to them.
Now, besides your native traditional healing, which you incorporate, you're also a Reiki master.
Yes, I'm a Reiki master teacher. I have been for a number of years. And
so are you
I also
feeling
do,
this energy that's going out to people right now?
Well, you know,
what
is one of the sayings that I have? And that is, it's always about the healing.
Correct.
Because healing is always about love. And
correct.
If you keep healing and love in the same sentence, then you're talking of Creator.
Right. So if you are feeling that energy coming to you, our number here is 888-627-6008. There's so many questions that people ask me, and I don't have the answers. So I'm going to ask you. Because over the last several decades, people have become so curious about Native or Indian ways. And one of the things that I don't know, maybe it's a pet peeve or maybe it's just, but people will go into like a New Age store and buy a tied up piece of sage. And they'll go home, they'll light the sage, and just run it across the room and mm-hmm. think that they're cleansing it. And they don't understand the proper way of smudging or cleansing. So
well,
can
you... Well, it isn't their fault that they don't understand that. Okay?
Right.
Like anything else, the tools that we use in sage, cedar, sweetgrass and tobacco are basically spiritual tools that are utilized for various different things, as are other incenses and smells that are used by various cultures around the world.
So what is the proper way of smudging or cleansing a room?
Well, we're going to back that right up to where it starts.
Okay.
And it always starts with a thought in a person's mind. What is the intent? What is it that you want? Okay.
Most of them want to clear away negative energy.
Exactly. So once the intent has been placed out there, I want to clear away something which is negative. It is through your intent and your actions, utilizing the tools to accomplish that which you hope. And you're doing it with faith that the Creator is hearing that and making that so. In other words, it's a circle. It starts with your intent, with your actions, and then you're waiting for it to happen. Now, different types of tools, as I call them, sage, cedar, sweetgrass, tobacco, have different qualities to them. Right. Sage is one of those ones that people use for cleansing. And right. What's interesting about that is that studies that have been done with sage, and of course our elders knew this a long time ago, studies that have been done with sage seems to point out that when you burn sage and the smoke comes off the sage, it ionizes the air. It attracts negative ions. Mm-hmm. So the whole idea of cleansing with the sage smoke, or smoking a person, as they call it, or feathering a person, there's many different terms that are utilized for that, is to remove from the body's energy, from the energy centers, the aura, if you will, the egg, whatever you want to call it, is to remove the negative off of that and move it out. Because in the rules of spiritual energy, like attracts like. So if you are removing and banishing negative energy, you're replacing it with positive energy. And positive energy and negative energy do not attract. Okay, negative attracts negative, and positive attracts positive. So you're chasing it away, and you're replacing it with something else. So that's the whole concept of utilizing the sage for the cleansing.
Now, I've seen you do a room, and you do. Each corner represents something, and above and below.
Right, okay.
So what do the different directions represent?
Well, there are, and they are just representations. If you stop and think of where you are, every human being is what I call a go-between.
Mm-hmm.
We are spiritual beings that are having the blessing, if you will, the great gift of being able to live in material creation. We are spiritually experiencing that which Creator has created, and He wants us to be in good relation with that. In order to do that, you have to be balanced. So if you consider yourself standing, then you have four directions. You have the east, and the east where the sun comes up, which is the area of enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have the south, okay, where the south winds blow, okay, and it brings in, you know, the warm sunshine and the growing things and things of that nature. You have the west, which brings in the rains, and you have the north, which brings in, you know, the cold winds and teaches endurance and all of these sort of things. But you also have an above and you have a below. Now, if you're standing in the center of that, you're actually surrounded by everything in creation. That's what's symbolic of the four directions. Now, different nations will attach different attributes to each of the directions, okay? Now, I like to think that there's six sacred directions, and I just said those. But if you put your mind on the center, which is within yourself, which is really where the center of your universe is, that's the seventh sacred direction. That's the balance point. That's where we strive to walk what I call the beauty way. Try to walk in balance with all things. So that's, and they've even given it different colors and stuff. But the four directions is also symbolic of other things. There's four cycles in your life. You're born as an infant, then you're a child, then you're an adult, and then you're the old person, and you're in that cycle. The same thing happens with things that you want to accomplish in your life. They start out as a baby thought, okay, and then you put them in action as a child with all the exuberance of a child. You're all excited, you're getting into them. Then you get the understanding of the adult and finally end up with the wisdom of the older one because you've seen how those things have worked in that cycle of ages or the four directions, if you will.
And that goes along with why this program is called Discover Your Potential.
Everyone has such great potential. If they only knew how powerful Creator had made them. Right. You know, the when we talk about the smudging and things of this nature, you know, I've heard things like, oh, no, that's all part of witchcraft and things of this nature.
I know.
But yet, if you take a look holistically of the peoples on the earth and see how many people in their own religions utilize something which is just as similar, you know, whether it be the incense censers that are done in religious ceremonies and churches and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, or the incense which is burned by the Buddhist or the Shinto priests or whatever, you know. And a good example is here in the United States, and then the majority of the people would say, well, incense don't have anything to do with religion. Well, I beg to differ. You know, Psalms tells me that, the incense is symbolic of the prayers of the people rising. The burning of incense was symbolic of the people rising up to meet Creator. That's in Psalms, and it's also in Revelation. So, you know, I take a look at that, and I say, well, you know what? Everybody's going back to the common, and that's, I think, is where the interest in the indigenous cultures from around the world are awakening people again, because it's taken them back to the more simple times, because spirituality does not have to be as complicated as people make it out to be.
Right, and some people make it very complicated.
Oh, yeah. For whatever reasons, I found that to be the case. I don't know if you can't take yourself out of your spirituality, you have no business talking to other people about it.
Right.
I'm sorry. I can be very blunt.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, which will be very soon, I want to talk about many people have asked me why so many people of Native American background or Indian background have their Indian names with animals and birds.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk, when we return from our break, I want to talk about how people get their native names and is there a ceremony that goes along with that?
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to talk about, because people have asked me, what are animal totems? And they'll even ask me, what's my totem? Well, I can't give them that answer. How does one know what their totem is?
Yeah.
Is there a specific ceremony? I know how I got mine. It was during a healing ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the wolf. That beautiful gray wolf with beautiful blue eyes. So, Gordon, we're going to take a short break.
Cindy Gilman is a certified holistic and Reiki and energy practitioner, as well as a spiritual medium. As a spiritual medium and empath, she conducts individual personal consults either by phone or in her office. All sessions are professional and confidential. For a phone consultation or in-office appointment, go to www.cindygilman.com or call 401-885-4115.
Welcome back. And if you would like to call in, our number is 888-627-6008. So let's talk about names and how important the specific animals and birds that are in people's names and how they get their names.
Okay. Well, first off, it isn't just animals and birds. There's the diversity of names is quite widespread. You know.
Okay.
I've seen some rather interesting names, and at first glance, when you hear the name, you're absolutely confused until you hear the story about how the name was selected. you know, it wasn't uncommon that, you know, you'd have someone that was named for a significant event that happened or something that occurred at or around their birth, and mm-hmm. for their name to change as they grew older as well, perhaps based upon, you know, some life occurrence or something significant that they did, or perhaps even, you know, stepping across the threshold into a new responsibility, their name would change, you know, that way. So,
and I've heard that over a person's life, their name can change.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it can change. But generally what happens now, especially in today's societies, you know, where it's, your name is basically attached for life, you know, and it's on your birth certificate and it's on your driver's license and, you know, on every credit card you've got and things of that nature, it doesn't have a tendency to change too much unless you go to the courtroom, you know. Well, it was during the simpler times, it was, you know, was not uncommon to have a name, you know, a name to change. And, of course, that would have to be introduced to the people so they understood who they were talking to after that. But
so is there a specific ceremony to give a person a name?
A specific one that goes across all the different nations? No. The naming ceremonies are done in many different ways. Some are quite elaborate, as a matter of fact. You know, the more common way that I've seen them occur is usually done, you know, within sacred space, because the giving of a name was considered to be sacred, you know. And it would be done in such a way that the new name would be given out with it, usually an explanation. Sometimes with an explanation of how the name came to be. And the reason that I gave it with a caveat like that is that some names come from spirit and are recognized in a sacred setting only. They're not utilized in a, you know, a public setting. So, for example,
what's the most
a spirit extension on a name is what whoever's done the naming or has received the information is understanding what spirit is calling you, certainly what the people around you are calling you. And once again, that's the reason is because, you know, you're both spiritual and you're material. You're both spiritual and physical.
What's the most unusual name you've ever heard?
I'm sorry?
What's the most unusual name you've heard?
Well, let's see. The most unusual name. Let's see.
Or one of them.
Well, you know. Let's see. I
must have heard a funny one because you just laughed.
Yeah, there have been some funny ones, but you know.
You don't want to share those?
You can. Let's go ahead and take a famous name.
Okay.
And I'm not going to explain the famous name. It's actually a name of a medicine person.
Okay.
Who's crossed over? But the name can have many meanings. Okay. Rolling Thunder.
Mm.
Okay, now Rolling Thunder, if you take the two words and put them together, that's like a deep sound that rolls across the country.
Right.
Okay, in other words, it's a voice that's heard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's basically what it would mean. Now, how that individual got that name, I don't know that story, okay? Mm-hmm. But you know, if you want to get to giggle about it, you know, that name can have another meaning. Let's say, for example, that someone that just goes into a place and just disrupts the place, like a big clap of thunder every time they go, Rolling Thunder.
Oh dear.
Okay. Yeah, you know, so I have to be careful, you know, with in doing that and not making any prejudgments on a person's name. You know, so I mean, God forbid, you know, when you're born, you know that your name is struck with lightning or something, you know. Bernie,
so
here,
many,
now you know
so
why
many
he
names
was struck by
have,
lightning.
So many names have birds attached
yeah.
to them.
Birds,
and every...
birds were common, especially in the females, you know, bluebird or, you know, little sparrow or mm-hmm. or something of this nature. You know, and that brings up the point, you know, why did they use them? It was the attributes of that which they were named after that that was seen in the person that got that name. Hmm. So, for, you know, for example, you know, let's say his name was Singing Crow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he was constantly going around and letting everybody know about everything that went on. Just like Crow will sit there and let you know that, you know, somebody strange has come into the woods.
Isn't Crow a messenger?
Yes. Uh-huh. Crow is one of the messenger birds, just like Blue Jay. And that was one of the major attributes that they would have. They, you know, they have it. They have sharp eyesight. Mm-hmm. You know, they're aware of their surroundings, and they let everybody know if something comes into the surrounding that is unusual or shouldn't be there or things of this nature.
Okay? Right. Very often people will ask me, "Oh, a dove came and sat on my windowsill," or a cardinal. What does a red cardinal mean? Well, mm-hmm. wouldn't it have several different meanings for?
Oh, they can have. Yeah, they can have several different meanings. It's funny you bring cardinal up, because that's my mother's favorite bird, and that's her favorite colors too. You know, red and just if given a choice between two car colors, you'll always go for red.
Really?
Yeah. It just
so
her
native name is.
Well, my mother's native name is Seven Feathers.
Seven Feathers.
And her native name was given to her because she's our clan mother.
Right.
And for your listeners, so that you understand my heritage, I am French-Canadian and Native American. I am what is called a Métis. I'm a mixed blood. And my mother is the clan mother of our family clan. And she had seven children. So each of the children was a feather. That was her
uh-huh.
Her name is Seven Feathers. When she was made clan mother of our family clan, that was the name that was given to her, you know, by the medicine people. So each of the feathers was representative of one of her children.
Right.
So that's kind of how the native names work. Now, in the process of how do you get a name, okay, lots of times people would go up and ask somebody that they thought was a medicine person.
Right.
Okay. Now, in medicine, in the Native American culture, we're not talking about allopathic medicine as
right.
you know, as going to see a doctor.
Right.
To them, spiritual power is medicine.
Right.
Okay. So they called it medicine, and that medicine person, just like yourself, Cindy, who is a go-between, what I call a go-between, that can go between mm-hmm. the spirit world and the living, they would get a name that would come to them from the spirit world about the attributes of the person that was looking to be named. So, you know, they generally speaking, we would have to know something about you.
Now, would okay? this have to be done within a sacred circle, within a lodge?
It generally is done that way, yes, because of the naming in most of today's place where people get native names, okay, it's being done in such a way that it's has a spiritual annotation to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's spiritual in nature, it should be done in what they call sacred space. In other words,
explain to the audience
cleansed
what
and cleared
sacred
and dedicated
space is.
To that purpose.
Can you explain what sacred space is?
Well, sacred space. Sacred space can be any place that you are. It is based upon the intent and the respect that you have for spirit to make that place just as holy as it can be, what it is that you would like to accomplish. You don't go into any spiritual aspect dirty, so you cleanse yourself. You want to, if you're going to invite spirit into your life, you try to make your house as clean as possible, and that's the reason for the cleansing and things of this nature. And it's the intent of what it is that you're doing that sets up the respect within you in order to ask. In other words, you humble yourself because you're asking for help. So the space should be sacred, just like the new lodge that I built in my backyard over my sacred circle. You know, a lodge is a lodge. You know, it's a place ultimately was a place to live, but if it's dedicated to a purpose, it can take on something else. It can become a church. So, and ultimately, what I'm saying is that sacred space is a portable church. It can be set up any place that you feel is appropriate to it. It doesn't have to have four walls. You can set up sacred space within yourself. If you go to what I call the looks within place in your mind, you can do and have sacred space within your mind as you commune with spirit. Because the source is always there.
Right. And you use your sacred space and lodge specifically for spiritual work and healing.
That is the primary intent of my lodge. My sacred space that I've had out there, it was put together with the intent of being able to lift up other people's prayers, you know, by me putting the tobacco into the fire and sending those prayers up on the smoke and letting the winds just carry it everywhere, you know, for the people. So it isn't a place that makes a person sacred. It's what's done within a place that makes the place sacred.
Correct.
You know, so if I've dedicated it to that, for example, in my lodge out there I have a stove. That stove is just for heating the lodge.
Right.
If I'm going to do ceremony, I have a ceremonial fire area that I do for just ceremony. I keep the two separate.
Now, when a lodge is used for other people, there is a fire keeper outside the lodge, correct?
Generally, there would be a fire keeper. If you're doing a ceremony, okay, in my case, because I'm an individual, you know, I don't have other people that do anything with me outside of my wife now. But if you're going to do a larger ceremony, anyone that ever has the opportunity to be invited to Native American ceremonies. And out of respect, you should never go to those uninvited. But they would notice certain things that are done in certain ways. They'll have somebody that's dedicated to the fire. They'll have someone that's dedicated to maintaining the cleansing of the people that come into the circle. Just a number of different things that go in so that everything can be done
sadly,
in a respectful way.
Right. Sadly, there are people out there that are doing this without, and I don't mean with malintent, but they're just allowing people into the lodge without properly cleansing them or allowing.
I think probably what you might be alluding to is the what I call the stone person lodge, or a sweat lodge.
Right.
There seems to be a lot of that going on, and in many cases, I consider that to be, you know, probably a cultural misappropriation. You know, but and I'm not saying that sweat lodges are bad that people are doing, because There's sweats and saunas done all over the world,
right.
And in many of those, especially in some of the Scandinavian countries, you know, they have certain rituals and things that they do within their sweats too that can make them a
right.
spiritual thing. So.
But
yeah, but you're
how
right.
How can we warn some of our listeners who may just want to jump into a sweat lodge without knowing whether it's traditional and proper.
Well, I think my biggest caution is that you don't jump on board with anyone that you don't know.
Okay.
And you don't jump on board with anyone that does not know you. Okay, because those two things are paramount to having, the purpose of the lodge being successful. Okay, to do it first and foremost, my biggest thing, and you know this, Cindy.
Yep.
I have never charged ever for any ceremonies that I have ever done within my family. Or in any other teachings or anything that I have done.
Right.
Okay, because it's not anything that I'm doing. It's just something that's coming through me to others. Okay? So the first thing I would caution people, that if they're saying, hey, sign up for this and $300 down and $400 here when you get here, no.
Right.
Okay, but that's just me.
Run the other way.
Yeah, that's just me. Because then I'm thinking that the intent for doing it, it's gotten away from the healing.
Exactly.
And if it's gotten away from the healing, it's gotten away from the love. And if it's gotten away from the love, it's gotten away from the respect for Creator. And if it's gotten away from respect for Creator, it's gotten away from the respect for the Creator's people.
And for people who just, you know, there are people who just want to go to some big lodge where there are many, many people, just for the fun of it, just to experience it,
mm-hmm.
that's not the way to go.
Well, there's a lot of people out there that are really searching, you know, they're searching for whatever path because they're lost.
Right.
Okay. And I understand those people, you know, and those are the ones that you and I, we try to assist in their path work. And then you have another group of people out there that seem to have what they call a bucket list, you know, and they're the same ones that, I hate to say it, they're the same ones that love the fact of, look at how many subscribers I've got on my YouTube channel. Look how many friends I have on Facebook or followers on Instagram or followers on Twitter.
Right.
You know, that's the same category. And it's not at all the same when it comes down to it, because it dilutes everything. It takes the emphasis off where it's supposed to be. Okay, it's
Which
not as complicated as they're making it. Spirituality is much simpler than that.
Well, the other thing is when you properly go into a lodge, sometimes, if a person has a certain either emotional illness or negative energy, it can shift the whole energy of the people in the lodge.
Yes, it can. Yes, it can.
So
you know,
the
important
person
thing
leading
is that
the lodge has to be
those
very
kind of
careful.
Things. That's the whole idea about the cleansing. In
right.
a case like that, you know, where someone has those specific issues, just like you mentioned, it would probably not be in a group setting that that you know, a medicine person might take that person into a lodge.
Right.
You know, it would probably be by themselves, or perhaps with some strong support in there that would be able to, you know, direct that energy where it needs to be. You know, but there are so many different methodologies that are used by the medicine people, and they all have their own ways and their own medicines. As you well know, with your contact with some of the medicine people that you've seen them do certain things, you
right.
know that they all do things slightly different.
Right. The other thing before we have to go, and this hour has passed very quickly,
I hope you'll come back.
People will often ask me, well, what's my animal totem? And that's not a question I can answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that also comes through through some spiritual ceremony often. But there's a wonderful book called Animal Speak.
Oh, yeah.
By Ted Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
Do you often suggest that to people?
I have suggested that to people. Not so much about what is being said about each specific animal within there, okay?
Right.
Because that can, that may or may not apply to the individual. But if you take a look at the chapters that surround the definitions of the animals and the totems and stuff, that gives you an understanding of why you might be considering a certain animal or why you think a certain animal is considering you. And it's the attributes and it's the spiritual significance of what
right.
that means.
Well,
these things are just keys. They unlock certain understandings within us.
Right.
They unlock certain doors, or they have an attribute that we find that we want to incorporate in our life, whether physical or spiritual. And it's really a way for people to shape-shift their reality into what it is that they hope is for the highest good for themselves.
Well, I thank you for being with me today, and I hope that this has been educational and informative and enlightening to our audience.
Cindy Gilman is a certified holistic and Reiki and energy practitioner, as well as a spiritual medium. As a spiritual medium and empath, she conducts individual personal consults either by phone or in her office. All sessions are professional and confidential. For a phone consultation or in-office appointment, go to www.cindygilman.com or call 401-885-4115. Hello, I am Ron Hayden of Voices Unlimited. I've been writing and voicing radio and television commercials, toys, games, corporate sales and training, and so much more for over 25 years nationally and globally. I will write or co-write and voice your radio or TV spots, on-hold messages, or whatever you need. In one of my many voices or celebrity voices, custom characters, or an announcer voice. A great gift idea. Have me make a celebrity phone call for a special occasion. Just go to www.ronhayden.com to sample my voice demos. Email me at rhvoices1@msn.com. I look forward to working with you. In a high voice, a low voice, or just my voice.
My business has lost its upward momentum. I'm working up to 14 hours a day, but my sales seem to have plateaued. I'm so overwhelmed.
I used to have that same problem, but ever since I found the Balanced Millionaire Consulting Firm, our sales and profits have risen sharply. Even our staff is more engaged, and the atmosphere is full of energy.
I have no time to work on my business to develop new sales and marketing strategies. I would love to expand, have strategic partnerships, and access to financing.
You can do all of that and more. The Balanced Millionaire Consulting Team advises you on streamlining your operations, establishing alliances, and most importantly, increasing your revenues and profits.
Let us help you build value and reduce stress in your business. Take charge. Don't let your business control your life. Visit TheBalancedMillionaire.com or call 442-224-0160 for a free consultation. That's 442-224-0160 or TheBalancedMillionaire.com.